And as you turn there, you'll probably realize this is a familiar passage of Scripture. Luke 15 deals with the prodigal son. However, this morning I want us to look at the prodigal's dad. Prodigal's dad. Probably one of my favorite fathers listed in God's Word. Chosen here by Jesus to illustrate the Heavenly Father. So he must be ideal for us as well this morning to study. He was the father of two sons, as you will find in chapter 15 here. And they were both prodigals for a time. The younger was a prodigal in choosing the pleasures of sin, and the other was a prodigal in choosing pride of self. And because their father was what he was, the prodigal became what he should be. And that's important for us this morning. The younger son returned to the younger son returning to the father. And then the older in a decision that had to be made, what king of a father was this man? What kind was he? So Luke 15, we'll begin reading in verse number 11. Luke 15, beginning in verse number 11. And he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And when he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine, and he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion, and ran and fell upon his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe, and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand, and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf, and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Now his elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing, and he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, thy brother is come, and thy father has killed the fatted calf, because he had received him safe and sound. And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answering said to his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment. And yet you never gave me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as thy son was come, which had devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, son, thou art never with me, and all that I have is thine. I was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this my brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. Let's pray. Father, as we think upon these words, it calls to mind the song Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me, how we were once lost, but how we were found. We were blind, but how we now can see. God, we're so thankful for your grace and, Lord, for that love that you have for us as your children that can never be measured up to in this walk of life. God, how thankful we are for your grace. And Lord, as we look at this word this morning, God, I pray that you would speak to our hearts. May we apply it in our life wherever it may be needed. And Lord, for whatever you do here this morning, we'll be careful to give you all the praise and the honor and the glory. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. What kind of father was this prodigal's dad? As we look and see, I believe I've preached on the prodigal son before and how he spent all that he had in this land. And yet when he came home, how his father still loved him and still accepted him into the family, even though he had spent everything that he had on this excursion of his into this far country. But what kind of father is this man that is mentioned here? Well, we find in verses 12 through 18 where he was an approachable father. He was an approachable father. The text would seem to give us a bit of family history here, if you will. It seems that perhaps the mother of these two boys had died at some point, perhaps at the birth of the youngest son. That information is not known. Perhaps this man had stood at the grave of his beloved wife with his two sons. And the text also indicates here that even in the midst of all of the tragedy that perhaps had and the joyfulness that they had, they also apparently had a lot of wealth. As the scripture says, they had servants. And in this day and time, those that had considerable means would have these servants. And also, if you'll notice, where it talks about having livestock. And so this family probably was doing very well. And we find the young man here, the young son's dreams to go into this far country, how he had seen it maybe or heard of it through the townspeople talking and anywhere but home, right? Just get out of this place, right? I think that's most every young person's dream is when I'm 18 and on my own, I can do what I want and go where I want to go, right? Now, that was the attitude of this young man as well, to go into this far country. What was it like? Some might have slipped off in the night and just ran away to this far country. Some might have asked another to intercede. But this young man, he feels the need to come right to his father. And he says, Father, give me everything that I am to receive from you. He was very approachable. Our Heavenly Father is approachable as well. And just as this prodigal son approached this father, just as he was, your friend, you and I have the same privilege to come as we are to the Heavenly Father. This far country says there that he spent all that he had on riotous living, dreamed of a great task but found great temptation, dreamed of some great adventure that was awaiting him but instead he found great agony. He dreamed of perhaps having some level of prestige as he has already received all of his inheritance. And so I'm sure at this point he was doing very good. But instead he found himself not in a place of prestige, but in a place of poverty, in need, in want. He dreamed of perhaps romance, but instead he found nothing more than rags. He dreamed of this happiness, this away from pop, right? Away from that farmland, away from home, and finally on my own. All the happiness. But instead he found himself feeding the hogs. The father was approachable. Even from the pig pen here, he said, I will arise and go to my father. How many times have you and I found ourselves in a pig pen? I don't know. I'm sure you all have. I remember my brother and I, we used to have pigs back home on the farm. And those pigs were the most, I don't even know the word I'm trying to find here, but they were the most mischievous pigs that we ever had. And I can recall times every afternoon. If it wasn't every afternoon, it was every other afternoon. We would have to go get those pigs from the neighbor's cow pasture because they loved what the cows had deposited, right? And so they liked that land a lot better than the pen that we had them in. And so we'd have to go get them all the time. And it was nasty, right? Pigs are pigs, right? They're nasty. That's what they like. They like to root around in the mud. And the nastier they can get, the happier they are, right? But even in this pigsty, this prodigal son found himself feeding these hogs and perhaps wallowing around in the mud and the other things that goes on. And he came to himself. How many times do we have to find ourselves in the pig pen of sin? Where we're just wallowing around in the sin and then we realize this is not where I need to be, right? This is not where my heart should be. This is not where my mind should be. This is not where I should be as a child of God. And perhaps if we're lost, maybe we come to realize that this is not the life that I want at all, living in this far country. The father was approachable. Secondly, notice down in verse 18. We find where there's a father in his son's mind was associated with heaven. Notice what it says. I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. This is a father who is in his son's mind was associated with heaven. I've sinned against heaven and you. When he thought of heaven, he had thought of his father. And when he thought of his father, he had thought of heaven. He could not be reminded of God without remembering his father. His father surely was a man who walked with God, who talked with God, and what an impression that is, and how his son could not escape that mentality. He could not escape the legacy that his father had left and that sense of urgency that he had instilled in his son to walk with God. The father at prayer and devotions and his reverent walk, and perhaps even in his business dealings there on the farm. His father was godly. I pose that question to fathers today. Are you? A father who was, notice in verse 20, who was affectionate. Said, and he arose and came to his father. And when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. It is nonsense that manhood calls for coldness We live in a society where things are questionable sometimes. But you know, oftentimes it's that coldness of heart and spirit in families because someone feels that I'm a man and a man shouldn't do that. You know, it's your child. It's a little bit different with your child than it is with others. That look of love, the father had been watching for him. He had been waiting for him. He ran to meet him. Spurgeon said that out of breath, but not out of love. Says he was yet a great ways off. Can you imagine the father as he was setting? Perhaps I pictured in my head, maybe right there at the property line, you know? And maybe you're looking down that old dirt road and you're looking for dust coming for modern day with cars. Is that him? Is that him coming? And I know my parents get excited when I shoot them a text message and say, hey, I'm going to be in town. I'm going to swing by. And of course, they know that's code for make sure there's food in the fridge, right? I'm going to be swinging by and they'll be looking for me. And they'll know if I make it by because they'll say, if I go by and not stop, they'll say, well, I see you didn't stop by. That's the picture I get with this dad here. He's sitting there at the property line, looking down the road, waiting for his son to come home. And then yet when he was a great ways off, he began to run toward him. His son was returning and the time away made no difference here. The smell of that pig pen here made no difference. The rags that he was wearing made no difference. And even the empty pockets on his clothes didn't make any difference. The fact is, his son was home. And that's all that mattered to this dad. In verse 21 and verse 31, a father who was assuring to both. It's always good to have assurance, isn't it? When you ever question things and perhaps you're indecisive about something, maybe you have two options and you finally narrow it down to that one option. And as you're looking at it, you start to even question that. You ever second guess yourself? And as you look into it more and more and more, you start to feel a little more sure that this is what you need to do to have that assurance is great. And notice here what this father does. This is something that is grand and great. And as his son who has already received his inheritance, right? He's already received everything that he should be getting. He's the one that left. He's the one that spent all that he had. He's the one that had nothing upon his return. But notice what the father does. Bring forth the best robe. Not the one hanging in the back of the closet that you haven't worn in 10 years that's probably out of style. No, bring the best robe. Not the one that maybe has the dirt stains on it or food stains or whatever it may be. Not the one that's got the rips and tears. Of course, you can buy new clothes now with that, right? Craziest thing I ever seen. Buy a $40 pair of jeans that's got the knees cut out in them. But don't bring that. Bring the best robe. Bring the best thing that we could have. And notice what else it says there. It says to put it on him. Put a ring on his hand. You know what the significance of a ring is in this time? That ring was like a family crest. It meant you belonged to the family. So bring the best robe, bring a ring, put it on his finger, put shoes on his feet. So apparently he was barefoot, right? Put shoes on his feet and bring the fatted calf. We're going to kill it, and we're going to eat, and we're going to be happy. These were good Baptist folk. Amen. The Father should take the problems as God the Father takes them. We all have our failures, and we all have our sinfulness in life, and we all have our down settings. But instead of casting that back into people's face, let us embrace them and love them and show them that God loves them. You know how to turn people away from church? Spew hate back to them, right? You'll never get people into church if all we do is proclaim hatred or this or that. Not saying, not calling sin what it is, but I'm saying we must embrace and we must love and show them the way of Christ. And if there's a change that needs to be made, Christ will do the changing. Your failures have not moved you away from His love. And just like this prodigal son, his failures didn't change the fact that his father still loved him and that his father still had a home for him. His father still had all of these things for him. All he had to do was come home. Come home. Dear friend, that's the same way it is with God. No matter how much we've done bad, you know, I could list people forget that preachers are still human, right? We get placed upon this pedestal, and I've tried to tell churches down through the years, don't ever put me on a pedestal, because I'm telling you, I will fail. I'm not God. I don't claim to be. I know I have shortcomings. I know I have sin in my life. Or I know the forgiveness of God. But you know, I'm no different than anyone else. We're still human. But I'm so glad that God still has His arms open and He says, come home. That home is still prepared. That forgiveness is still available. You know, what a great example for fathers this prodigal's dad is. Regardless of what's been said or done, how we are to still love and how we are to still welcome home. Welcome home. And one of these days we will stand before our Heavenly Father. And despite all of the journeying into the far countries of life, and besides all of the wallowing around and the pigsties of sin in our life, you know what we will hear? Those that are forgiven, those that are cleansed by the saving grace of Jesus Christ, we will hear, welcome home. Enter into the place that's been prepared for you and enjoy your reward, bringing forth the best robe, amen, a spotless robe to be just like Him. We'll extend one verse of an invitation. I never like to close a service without giving opportunity. This is your time to do business with God, whatever it may be. Maybe you just need to say, Lord, help me be a better father. Help me to be a better example. Help me to be a better Christian. Help me, Lord, to overcome my sinful ways in life. Lord, get me out of this pigsty that I'm in. Maybe you just need to pray for a loved one, whatever it is, as we sing together.